The Precision Rifle Network podcast is brought to you by Securit Gun Storage Solutions for competitors, hunters, and operators. Let's get into this episode. All right, guys, thanks for listening to the Precision Rifle Network podcast. I know it's been a while. I was on vacation. It was busy for a couple of weeks, and then I was on vacation for more than a couple of weeks. And so you haven't gotten a podcast in probably over a month. I would apologize, but my family comes first. So sorry. No, I am planning on keeping up better with these for the remainder of the year, hopefully. My average is usually every other week, and I'd like to keep it that way if I can. Starting out, you guys heard it in the intro, but Securit Gun Storage Solutions, you can check them out. They're a title sponsor of Precision Rifle Network, PRN10, get you 10% off over there on anything they sell. There's a link underneath all the videos that we make on YouTube for various other sponsors as well. MK Machining, you can get links there for discounts. Coltac, you can get links for discounts. Axle Hearing Protection, all those. Just check out the links under the videos, and you can save a little bit of money on things you might already be looking at buying anyway. So appreciate that. I have no idea what number episode this is. I'm guessing like 11, 12, somewhere in that range for this year. What we're going to be doing today, I'm going to be talking about the Seekins 6 ARC. It's a Seekins DMR gas gun chambered in the 6 ARC cartridge. Been running that a bit. A video's coming out on it next Saturday, and I'll talk about that. Also, talking about selling a few guns. I took them to Full Circle Reloading. I'm going to be talking about which guns and why I'm selling and all those kinds of things. Also talking about a couple of new 22LR kind of projects that I got going on. A little different than what we're used to talking about with the precision rifle stuff. And then lastly, we'll talk about GunCon, which is a new-ish conference that happens at Brownells up in Iowa. So that's where we're going today. Let's get into it. Okay, guys, so starting out with the Seekins 6 ARC. This is a Seekins DMR. If you want to just look on their website and want to know what gun I'm talking about, is the Seekins 6 ARC DMR. And, of course, DMR stands for Designated Marksman Rifle. Let's define that real quick, because I think, you know, a lot of people, they hear DMR, and, of course, it's a military term, and I've never been in the military, but I will say that I have, over the years, taken a couple of different Designated Marksman Rifle classes, both of them taught by Jim Cobber, who is a ex-Navy SEAL, old school guy, and he taught these Designated Marksman Rifle classes, and I learned quite a bit. To put it in layman's terms, Designated Marksman Rifle stuff is really not a whole lot different than what we do in PRS-style competitions. Basically, you are shooting off of various positions. But the point is that you're trying to do it quickly. You're trying to get, a range really fast. So there's methods that go along with that, including danger space and a few other little tricks and tips that can get you ranges close enough when you don't know the actual range of a target. We're used to having the ranges given to us in PRS, and out in the real world, those kinds of situations do not present themselves. Usually, if you're going to get a very specific range, like for an LE, law enforcement sniper or military sniper, they're going to hopefully get a rangefinder, and they're going to have exact yardages and things like that. Well, what happens when you don't have that information and you got to put accurate fires downrange onto targets? And, with a high likelihood of a hit. Sometimes it's just about accurate fire enough to suppress an enemy. But those things all fall under the category of designated marksmen. And typically these guys are using gas guns. Might be, an accurized, longer barrel AR-15 chambered in 5.56. Or it can be other cartridges, obviously. You can go 308 or whatever it is. So that's kind of the general definition of DMR. Various different positions, unknown distances, fast shots, fast follow-up shots, accurate fire, reasonably accurate fire. It's not necessarily about one shot, one kill. It's more about, you know, let's get hits very, very quickly on those targets or that specific area to whatever end. It's a tool for a specific kind of job. So that's kind of the definition, I guess, of DMR, designated marksman. And I've never, again, I've never been in the military, so I've never been in that role, so I can't tell you specifically. I can only kind of regurgitate what I have learned in the classes that I've taken from people who have been there and done that. So that's what I'm trying to do. So the Seekin 6 ARC, obviously a 6 ARC or 6 ARC Hornady cartridge that was developed between Hornady and George Garner of GA Precision, is my understanding. And what they wanted was an optimized cartridge for gas guns, whether it be competition or hunting or whatever it might be. And you might say, well, we've had 308s and 556s and 6.5 Creedmoors for a good number of years. Like, what's wrong with those in the gas gun platform? Well, nothing necessarily. You know, on the 556 side of things, because of the cartridge, you're looking at a minimum effective distance, really. If you're just wanting to shoot targets with it, steel targets, well, then have at it. Like, blink out to 1,000 yards or whatever it is with your AR-15 chambered in 5.56 or 223, you know, whatever it is. But if you're trying to get anything serious done with it, like whether it's animals or whether it's humans, it's just really, it kind of falls apart, you know, beyond that kind of 400-yard range, 300-yard range, 400-yard range, something like that. Because of the energy and all that kind of stuff, the ballistics, they just aren't there. Well, so then you're like, well, okay, fine, let's go up to 308. Okay, fine. Like, a gas gun and chambered in 308 is, again, another tool for another job, and there's nothing necessarily wrong with it. Like, you can use a 308 as a DMR rifle, 100%. That's no problem. But typically we're talking about, you know, shorter barrels again. We still want soft shooting, however. So a 308, even in a gas gun, has a lot more movement, a lot more recoil. And so guys can't be quite as precise with a 308 gas gun as they can with something that maybe shoots a little softer. So again, it's just kind of a happy medium, the Seekin 6 ARC is. And ballistically, you know, it's going to outperform the 308. We're talking about 108 grain Hornady ELDM. And in through my rifle, we were sitting at just about 2,700 feet per second, which, you know, if you compare that to 308s, for example, like obviously 308 shooting a 168 or a 175 grain out of, let's say, an 18-inch barrel or even a 20-inch barrel gas gun, you're probably looking at 25 to 2,600 feet per second. Yeah, it might have a lot more energy at the closer distances because of the heavy bullet, but at the longer ranges, it's gonna suffer in wind and ballistics and all that kind of stuff. And so with the Seekin 6 ARC in a 22-inch barrel, this one that I have was running at about 2,700 feet per second. And I put my suppressor on and I gained about 20 feet per second out of that. And the factory ammo was doing pretty well, I thought. I had an SD of 10 and an extreme spread of 20 or 24 or something like that. It was low 20s. And I thought, man, that's, you know, for the distance that I'm going to be shooting this thing, that's acceptable. You know, I mean, you're going to see that 20 feet per second past, let's say, 800 yards maybe. You know, you're going to start noticing that 20 feet per second of deviation is going to start really mattering depending on the size of target you're trying to hit beyond those distances. Inside of those distances, that 20 feet per second might not be as big a deal. But I was, you know, I mean, for what I'm going to use it for, which is field matches, sniper field matches, competition, that sort of thing, and just kind of plinking, it's a really great cartridge for the gas gun. Here's my other, you know, I don't know. Here's another thought for me is that a guy could, well, let me stick on competition for a second. I'm going to use it in the Competition Dynamics Team Safari in the fall. Last year I went as a bolt gunner, and you guys have heard the story. If you've already been on this podcast, you can go back and listen to that one or whatever. But I went as bolt gunner. I had a gas gunner. He wasn't able to complete the competition for medical reasons. And I was forced to complete the second 2 days of that competition on my own with bolt gun. And it was fine. It was fun. But obviously I can't place well when my partner isn't there and we lose all his points. And so this year I'm going to do it again, but the guy I'm going with is actually, I believe, a better bolt gun operator than I am. And so I switched to gas gun for this year and I got the Seekins 6 arc to fill that role. And I think it's going to be just right because the vast majority of targets at that competition are anywhere from, you know, like 100 yards out to, you know, 600 and something. There are some that are a little farther. Like last year we had something at like 800 and something. But for the vast majority of the targets, we're talking 600 yards or less for the gas gunner. And that is just perfect for the 6 arc. And this rifle is plenty accurate enough with factory ammo. It runs well, no malfunctions to speak of in probably, let's see, I probably have put 400 rounds through this gun. I have not had a single malfunction, and I have not cleaned it yet. And so that speaks volumes to me because of the second thing here that I want to talk about. The second thing I want to talk about is just the difference between the 6 arc and the 6.5 Creedmoor. If we want something for competition that shoots flat, has good ballistics, we're talking 6.5 or we're talking a 6 mil, something like that. The 308 is kind of out because of the ballistics and because it's a little bit harder to drive, a little bit more recoil, a little harder to stay on target and spot your impacts and misses. And so we go with a 6.5 or a 6 millimeter. That's what most folks do for competition. For good reason. So some would say, well, why not use the 6.5 Creedmoor in a gas gun platform? Well, my particular experience, and everybody maybe is a little bit different, but I have not met a 6.5 Creedmoor gas gun that runs consistently. It seems like it constantly malfunctions. Not constantly, but let's say 2 out of every 10 rounds. There's some sort of a malfunction, whether it's a failure to fire or a failure to feed or something like that. That's been my experience. And that's probably been, it's been a handful. I would guess 6 or 8 different 6.5 Creedmoor gas gun platforms owned either by me or by friends, or just ones that people have let me shoot. They're like, hey, I'm having troubles. Can you shoot it and see what's going on? Well, I'll tell you what's going on. It's a 6.5 Creedmoor in an AR platform. That's what's wrong. Like, I just don't think the 6.5 Creedmoor is a good fit for a gas gun platform. I just don't. Again, that's just been my experience, take it or leave it. But anyway, I think the 6 arc is a better choice. And I have had zero malfunctions with that. It feeds reliably, fires reliably, and ejects reliably in any of the different magazines that I've tried. There's been probably 3 or 4 different brands. The Amend 2, I've tried the Elander, I've tried the AR Stoner, I've tried the Alexander Arms. That's 4. There might have been one more, but for all four of those different brands of magazines, and those are 6.5 Grendel mags, that's what you use in it, everything is ran perfect for the 400 or so rounds that I have down the barrel. And I also borrowed a 6 arc gas gun from George Gardner at one point for a video. It's been 2 full years since I did that. It was when that 6 arc first came out. Excuse me. But his ran flawlessly as well. And so that's kind of what piqued my interest back then. I was like, man, great ballistics, soft shooting, ammo's not too expensive, like $30 a box. That's not too bad in these days. It's just, it runs consistently well. That's the most important to me. So I don't know. There's all that. And then finally, my thoughts on it are with regard to hunting. And I don't know. I just think it could be a good hunting caliber as well. I mean, ballistics, you know, let's say out to 500 yards, I think with that 108 grain, you're looking at still 500 and no, it was 800. It was 800 and some feet per second out to those distances and out to 500 yards, that is. And that is plenty of energy to take down whitetail and anything smaller, you know, whether it's boar or whether it's coyotes or whatever it is you're hunting, let's say inside of 500 yards, you are good to go as far as this being a soft shooting, nice hunting cartridge. And, you know, obviously gas gun as a hunting rifle, take it or leave it. You know, it's kind of heavy, doesn't really fit in a pack super well, but, you know, and you don't really need the fast follow-up shots, like not that fast. I mean, it's not that much faster than a bolt action if you know how to run a bolt action correctly. And so take it or leave it for hunting. I'm just saying I think it could be capable. That's just my opinion. You know, some would say, oh, 800 foot-pounds of energy is not good enough for whitetail. I'm like, well, really? Like, come on. Look at a 45 ACP at point-blank range. That's in the neighborhoods of what, 400 foot-pounds of energy, something like that, at point-blank range with a 45 ACP. Could you kill a deer at point-blank range with a 45 ACP? Yes, easily. It's going to put a big old hole in that sucker. It's going to die quickly and ethically. And so then transfer that to a round like this, 800 foot-pounds of energy out at 500 yards, it's going to do even better job to me than that. So that's how I justify that. But you guys can do whatever you want as far as your ethics of hunting is concerned, but that's where the line falls for me. So all in all, great gun. So it's got a 22-inch barrel on it. I put my zero compromise optics, 4 to 20, up on top. It's got the MPCT2 reticle in it, which does have the Christmas tree. I tend to prefer the MPCT1, which is what I have in my 5 to 27 zero comp scope. I like just the standard crosshairs. The one is just the standard crosshair. It's got the vertical, it's got the horizontal, no Christmas tree. You know, 2/10 hash marks is my preference. Floating center dot is my preference. Lighted reticle, that's all excellent. The MPCT2, which is what I have on the Seekins gas gun, it does have almost the same reticle, but it's got a minimalist kind of Christmas tree down underneath it. But it's not too busy. Nothing gets in the way as far as I'm concerned. But my preference would be to have no Christmas tree. I just don't need it. I don't need those hold-offs or holdovers or whatever. This isn't a PRS gun, and it's not a PRS scope. So it just doesn't matter to have those holdovers and stuff. And I find that the Christmas trees just get in the way. So anymore, at least with my older eyes now. So everything else is bone stock on the rifle. The trigger's not bad. I think I might swap out the trigger to a Trigger Tech Diamond, a two-stage for the AR. Just for competition, I just want it a little bit lighter than the stock trigger. That's not to say the stock trigger is horrible. It's not. It's a decent trigger. It's just that with a gun like an AR that's already kind of hard to drive because of the movement, the lock time, all that kind of stuff, I want to stack the odds in my favor a little bit better. So I'll probably switch out that trigger. But yeah. Well, that wraps up the Seekins 6 Arc. I thought it was kind of fun, and I've been putting some more rounds through it lately and just wanted to talk about it. And so there's that. Next up is some guns. I decided that, like, usually historically I have been the guy that I don't sell guns. I will very rarely, occasionally I will, like if it's something that just didn't perform to my expectations or I really just don't have a purpose for it at all. I've gotten something that was better, like a very similar type. You know, for example, I have right now two Sig Cross rifles, one in 6.5 Creedmoor and one in 308. Like an argument could be made like, well, I don't really need that 308 if I've got an identical Sig Cross in 6.5 Creedmoor and it shoots just as well. Like 6.5 Creedmoor is better ballistically and all around generally than the 308. So why would I keep the 308? It's that kind of thing. But so recently I kind of just took inventory of what I had and what I just kind of like never use and didn't mind losing. And one great thing about having a friend with a gun shop, and this is Alan Bennett. He owns Full Circle Reloading. It's kind of over by St. Louis, Missouri. And he will take used guns on consignment, and he will sell them out of his shop to folks, and he takes a little percentage, and I get the rest. And so I'm happy to, you know, put more guns on his shelves right now. Like, he's like, when I was over there, he didn't look like he was really hurting for firearms, but you know, they're always looking to get more options for their customers. And so just was going to tell you about a couple of the ones that I took over there. Number one, in case you happen to be interested, you can get a hold of Alan over there at Full Circle Reloading and go through the process and maybe get yourself a good rifle. But so a couple of the ones that I took over there, one was a full custom build, the Pristine Action, which allows you to do some kitchen table gunsmithing. If you're not familiar with that term, it just means that you're able to swap barrels at home on your own if you know how and have the right tools. You know, go gauges, no go gauges, and the right wrenches, and all that kind of stuff. That Pristine Action is basically brand new. I used it for the video, fulfilled my obligations to make a video about it and all that kind of stuff, and then decided to try and sell it. So, if you watch that video at all, you'll see that it's a good performer. It has a used proof 6.5 Creedmoor barrel on it that shoots very well with factory ammo, half MOA, roughly, as I remember. It's been some months, but it was a good shooter. I put it into an Accuracy Addiction chassis, which is very similar to an MDT ACC, just a little bit different company. But, you know, you can attach weights to it, and it's got all kinds of adjustments and things like that. I left a TriggerTech trigger in it. I think it's the TriggerTech, like, special or something that I left in there. The barrel's proof, chambered in 6.5 Creed. So that's over there, if anybody's interested in that. And then I also took a Bergara B14R, bone stock, basically new. I did a video on that one as well. It shot good. I just don't have another need for another 22 bolt action. Like, I have two Voodoos and a CZ457 that all shoot really well. And so I just don't, even though I love the Bergara and it's a great rifle, like, no complaints, obviously, I don't have a need for it. It just simply comes down to not having a need for it at all and needing more space in my gun safe. So that's over there. There was a Ruger 10/22 that I customized. Also did a video on that one. It's your standard Ruger 10/22, but I changed out the barrel to a Tactical Solutions, and I dropped it into a KRG Bravo chassis. You know, that one's a great shooter as well. Obviously, your standard Ruger 10/22, and the accuracy that you'd see on the video that I did with that, it wasn't all that impressive. But I picked just standard run of the mill ammo. Like, I didn't bother with trying to find the best ammo for that rifle. It will shoot better than that. Like, I've had it with like CCI standard velocity ammunition, and it's a hammer. It just, with the ammos that I picked for that particular video, it didn't shoot all that well. But I've had that thing for a lot of years, and now with, you know, the bolt actions that we use for competition and stuff, and my kids are getting a little older, I just don't have a need for that Ruger 10/22. So that one's there. So, you know, Full Circle Reloading, you check out Alan's shop. He specializes in all kinds of stuff, but he's a big PRS shooter. So they carry a lot of PRS type, you know, accessories and bags and rifles and whatever. They teach classes. So just a shout out to Alan at Full Circle Reloading. And, they currently have a handful of my guns over there. So if anybody's interested in that, get a hold of them, go through the background check process and all that stuff, and maybe get yourself, decent rifle. So another thing that I've been working on is I've just been on a 22 long rifle kick lately. It's just like trying to fill certain roles. So the long story of this first one is my wife got these chickens. I know that has absolutely nothing to do with guns, but she got these chickens last year, and probably for the first 6 to 8 months, no issues whatsoever with those chickens kind of in their little run out in the backyard. And we live on 10 acres just outside of town. And so we get, you know, deer and coyotes and all the wildlife that come through our woods and our yard pretty regular. But they've never seemed to be interested in the chickens. Well, all of a sudden, one chicken died and another one just disappeared. We're like, man, what the heck's going on? And so we put some live traps out a handful of nights in a row now, probably 2 weeks or 3 weeks in a row. We put these live traps out, put some cat food in there, and we've got, you know, raccoons, of course, that get trapped in there, and opossums. And so far, no coyotes or foxes or anything like cool. And I let the possums go because they eat ticks. I don't know if you knew this, but I used to kill opossums just because. I don't do that anymore. I let them go because I found out they eat like tons and tons of ticks. And I despise ticks far above most things in life. And so I let the opossums go. But the raccoons, they may or may not end up living. But what I wanted to do was get, and I didn't want to haul out my big PRS 22 rifle. And I live somewhat close to some neighbors, and I don't want to annoy them first thing in the morning with gunshots. And so I wanted something that I could dispatch harmful critters with, quietly. And I didn't want it to be a rifle that I had to like haul out, you know, and all that kind of stuff. And so I bought a Buckmark 22 pistol. And, you know, these are very similar to in the same vein as the like Ruger and Browning. They make like very similar little 22 pistols. They're just great for plinking, very reliable. And this Buckmark 22 had a threaded barrel. I was like, great, I'll put my suppressor on there. It'll be nice and quiet. I'll run subsonic rounds through it. It'll be the perfect thing for, you know, dispatching anything that's trying to hurt me or my chickens that we catch in those cages. So the Buckmark 22, I put a Pictane rail on top of that. I run the suppressor. I had a little red dot optic that I put on there. And I've been really, really impressed with that. Honestly, I've never owned a little pistol like that. And some people are like, geez, man, like, where have you been? Like those, that's like a staple in every dude's gun safe. But I just have never had it. I've never had a purpose for it. And so I just had never bought one. So I'm really loving this thing. I tell you what, like the thing shoots, you know, like better than an inch at 10 yards. Standing offhand, you know, with me running it, I'm very pleased with that as far as the accuracy is concerned. And when it shot that well at like 10 yards, I backed up to 25 and I was like, well, man, at 25, you know, standing offhand, I'm keeping my groups at like 3 inches. Like this thing, it might be a really good shooter. And so then I was like, well, shoot, let's make sure I'm dialed in and move back to 100 yards. And then, you know, I have like this 66% IPSC target at 100 yards on my wood line. And of course I had to shoot supported instead of offhand in order to be able to hit. But dudes, I mean, no trouble hitting a 66% IPSC 80% of the time with that thing. It just is super fun to shoot. And so, man, I've been having a blast with that thing. And I have a tool that I can dispatch small creatures with, and they're nice and quiet and just a lot of fun. So getting back to a little bit of basics with just being having tools that typical sportsmen have. I don't know, it's just kind of been a fun little project. And it, you know, it's cheap, it doesn't break the bank. It's like $400 gun, and I already had the suppressor, and so the rail was like $35, and the red dot was given to me for free. So it's been a very cheap and fun project. And so there's that. The second thing I did was, and these have been out forever, it's not new or anything, but CMMG makes 22 long rifle conversion kits for AR-15s. So it's just a bolt, fully contained, you know, bolt carrier group that's designed for 22 long rifle. And obviously your AR is, you know, 5.56 or 223. And so, same size barrel, for your 22 caliber long rifle. It shoots well enough, I will say. I did not do an accuracy test with that. I just know what the drop at 100 yards was. And so I slapped that conversion kit into my Daniel Defense AR and immediately started hitting at that 66% IPSC at 100 yards. No trouble, like 100% of the time was hitting that. And so then I went to a little 3-inch circle that I have at 100 yards, and I was hitting that somewhat consistently as well. So the accuracy, in my opinion, is there. I mean, it's subsonic. I think I was just using CCI standard velocity, which is like 1,070 feet per second. I am running it through a suppressor, so it's pretty quiet, and man, no troubles. It's been very consistent. I did try to go with a lower velocity subsonic, like the SK, running at like 1,040 feet per second, and it would not cycle reliably. And the conversion kit says as much on the packaging. It says that, you know, subsonics suppressed may not function well, if at all. And that was my findings as well. It just doesn't work quite as well. But then I was like, okay, fine, I'll pick a slightly faster subsonic at 1070 feet per second with those CCIs, and that runs every time. I haven't had a single issue with it yet. Probably 150 rounds through it. That works well. And that rifle, again, Daniel Defense, standard AR 15 type. I've got a Vortex Razor HD 1-6 LPVO, low power variable optic, up on top of it. You know, I just use my second hash line down at 100 yards in there, and gosh, just fun, cheap plinking, you know? Because we were running subsonic 223 rounds. I say we, just me and my son both have very similar setups for running through suppressor, under nods, night optical devices at night, and just for plinking targets and whatever, maybe critters like coyotes that might wander onto the property. We were running those, but those things are like $1, $1.25 a shot, you know. So when we can use 22 long rifle rounds that are like 10 cents a shot, well, that's a lot more better. It's just been fun, you know. I've been having a lot of fun with the little 22 long rifle projects. I still have my Voodoo that I need to get back from Kenny out at Desert Precision Gunworks. He has hand selected a barrel and fitted for me onto my Voodoo, my 90 degree Voodoo. Say 90 degree. If you're not familiar, the older versions are 90 degree bolt throw, and then the newer versions are 60 degree throw. I have one of each, but I decided to upgrade the 90 degrees. So I sent that to him. He's still got that. I'll get that back, and then I'll be doing some ammo testing with that. And I expect that thing to just hammer because Kenny does really good work. Last thing I want to talk about is Gun Con. It is a partnership between John Patton, who owns the Gun Collective YouTube channel, and Brownells. And Brownells is, of course, an Iowa-based company, very similar to Midway USA. Probably slightly cooler people at Brownells, to be honest. It's just been my experience. And I worked at Midway, so I mean, I'm not saying that the people at Midway are bad. I'm just saying, like, it just seems like the folks at Brownells are a little more in touch with the industry than Midway. And so John decided to put on this conference, Gun Con, partnered with Brownells. Brownell hosts it in one of their huge warehouses, and it's basically like a gun show kind of a feel. Like a bunch of vendors come in, they set up tables and booths, and you can go up and talk to them. It's similar to a SHOT Show or whatever like that, or an NRA annual meetings, but obviously on a much smaller scale. But it is growing. I went last year, was the first year, and I'm going back this year, and I'll be doing just photo and video for them, giving them some content to use on their social medias for the event. And it'll be cool. There's a range day. Brownell's range is, it's a nice, clean, well-kept, like high quality range. There's just not a lot of bays, you know, as this event grows, it might be hard to fit into there. But you know, they've got out to 500 yards on one bay, and then a couple of rifle bays, a couple of pistol bays, and then there's a shotgun area as well. And so, you know, vendors set up, you can try out their guns and various optics and whatnot. And then there's like the indoor conference day where you can kind of walk around, check out the vendors, and there's events and food and you name it. And then they also do like this panel of, you know, professionals in the industry, whether YouTubers or politicians or, you know, what it might be, industry people that get up on a panel, and the audience is then allowed to ask them questions. And of course it's live streamed, so you can look for that. Really fun kind of grassroots Second Amendment, like, you know, it's a good time. So, you know, if you're a good red-blooded American who loves the Second Amendment and likes good people that like the same things, well, this is a great thing. It's open to the public, and you can check it out. So Brownells, John Patton of Gun Collective, putting on the Gun Con in Iowa. That is at the end of this week up through the weekend. So maybe check that out if you're in the area. And that's about all I got for you guys. I apologize for my absence, and I will be back with more regular podcasts in theory, hopefully every other week, if not more often. It just kind of depends on what I'm doing for work and how much I've got to talk about. So there's all that. Appreciate you guys. Make sure you share the podcast. But most importantly, just for the future of Precision Rifle Network, is that you go watch the YouTube videos. That's kind of the bread and butter. And of course, the links to our sponsors down below all those videos helps a great deal as well. Thanks guys for listening today. Tune in again soon for another great video, podcast, or whatever else I'm doing from the Precision Rifle Network.